Also, the Islam teach us in a certain practicing ways, in ways, teaching us how to respect Him, in giving some orders. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي. لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم لبعض. All of these orders, which it means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't talk louder than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رواه الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى من حديث أنس رضي الله عنه أن ثابت بن قيس. Al-Bukhari narrated that Anas رضي الله عنه said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't talk louder than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Thabit ibn Qais, one of the Sahaba, he's khatib. His voice is so loud, it's natural. He said, I'm now in the hellfire, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. That means all of my deeds has been rejected. Allah not accept from me anything, because my voice is louder than him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he didn't came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stay home. And this is the shaitan. He make tricks. Say stay home so you don't go. But in fact he's not giving advice, because brothers, shaitan never give advice. Wallahi, he never give advice. Even though if he swear, that he swear to Adam before. وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. He said, I swear by Allah that I'm advising you. And all of you, you know the story of that person who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, and he's a righteous person. And then when the three brothers, they left their sister with him. They left their sister with him and said, we are the righteous person here and we don't want to keep. He said, no, I cannot. Tayyib, he said, finally, he said, just build a room just next to my room. Then they put a room next to his room. Then they said, just yani, watch out, yani, take care of her and give her food. At first day, he gave the food and he left. After a while, he said, might somebody come and take the food, or animal come and eat it. I have to make sure that she take. It's the shaitan giving him advice. It's responsibility. Allah is going to ask you about this responsibility. Make sure that you deliver the message right. Then she opened the gate. He was watching. She said, alhamdulillah, back again. Next day he said, you're not having such a good akhlaq manners. You let her to get outside, take the food. Why you didn't deliver the food inside the house so she keep her, nobody see her, keep her in a good, like a sister, it's your sister, you have to be worried about her. Maybe somebody, you see her opening the door, he might enter to the place. Okay, next time he opened the door and he put the food. He said, but the best thing to do to make your brother in Islam happy, you should, now how long she was been alone? She feels loneliness or alone. Why you don't go there and watch her while she's eating so she don't feel sad that she's alone? After a while, the best food, if many hands join, and there's a lot of hands in the food, so we should eat together. And after they eat together, after touching hands, after eyes to eye, and you know the rest. So she gets pregnant. He said, now they will back again and will be a problem. What will do? She said, I don't know. He said, kill your son. They killed the son, they buried the son. And the shaitan came, you think she will let you go with this? She will tear her brothers. So what I have to do? Kill her. Advise. He's still advising him. You see? Wallahi, this is good for you. You will be, you want everybody to say the righteous people, bad people? You have to cover, make tawbah, and cover your mistake. Then what he said, he killed the girl. Then after he killed her, he buried the brothers came. He said, she died and I buried her. She's there. The shaitan came to them saying, no, just check. When they checked, they found out she was killed. They took him. And they pull him out from his place. And they put him in a cross. Then the shaitan came to him. He said, now what? You have nothing to do. He said, what I can do? He didn't get the lesson yet. He's still listening to him, to the shaitan. The shaitan tell him, you want me to help you? He said, what you will do? He said, there's only one way to get you out from this. Shaitan, he never gave up. Until you reach a certain level, you will see it. He said, what? He said, make sujood to me. If you pray for me, I will take you out from this problem. Then after he made sujood, the shaitan ran away saying, A'udhu billah. I make my God witness that you are a disbeliever. يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. He gives you wishes. I wish. I want to do that. He gives you advices. This is the way he did to Adam. وَقَسَمَهُمَا. He swore by Allah that I'm an advisor. A sincere advice, a piece of advice to you. But then the shaitan tell him, stay home. But the Prophet ﷺ, he's the one who looking after his friends, who's companion. He said, where's Thabit? They said, he's afraid that he's a people among people of fire. He said, no, he's among those people in Jannah. And in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, He said, Anas radiallahu anhu. He said, then we used to say, there is a man among the people of Jannah, he's walking beside us, with us in the street. And he is a man of the people of Jannah. And until the Yamamah, في معركة اليمامة, he was killed that days after he encouraged the Muslim to fight Musaylamah hakadha. وأخرج البخاري أيضا عن أبي مليكة أنه قال كذا الخيران أن يهلكا. Almost the two righteous people to be in a trouble, in a such big problem. يهلكا, be destroyed. He means Abu Bakr and Umar. Because the Prophet ﷺ, it's a long story, just the Umar, he suggests a person to be a leader, and Abu Bakr, he suggests a name which is Al-Qa'qa, and Umar said, no, make the Amir Al-Aqra ibn Habis. Abu Bakr said, just you want to argue with me. Then they start talking, have argument. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tuqaddimu bayna yaday Allah wa rasulih. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid Muslims to talk before the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, to fight front of him ﷺ, talking about this religion before he talks ﷺ, say do or not do to, or not to do before him ﷺ, before his sunnah. And they were so scared. And in the other narration, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they start talking louder than the Prophet, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت النبي أن تحبط أعمالكم أنتم لا تشعرون. Don't talk louder than the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So might your deeds, your good deeds, it will be destroyed. It will not be valid. So, you know what happened? In the narration Sahih al-Bukhari, كان عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. Umar, after this ayah, you know what he did? He used to talk the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم so soft. Even my, the Prophet ﷺ sometimes ask him, what you said? And Abu Bakr, he said, after that, I will never talk to you until I'm talking to a person like I'm saying a secret, like soft talk. Like I'm telling you a secret. Just whispering. He's only, after this ayah, he was only whispering to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Afraid of being in a such terrible position if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said your deeds will be not valid or not acceptable. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah ordered the Muslims, if they are with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are not allowed to leave him until they will take permission from him. إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله وإذا كانوا معه على أمر جامع لم يذهبوا حتى يستأذنوه. They will not leave him until they will take permission from him. Why is that? Teaching this ummah how to obey him, how to follow his steps sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Teaching, practicing how to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's steps, how to believe in every single word he's saying to us, and obeying every single order he's ordering us sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and to be satisfied with everything he said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and you feel it's sufficient for you, you don't need anything more than that. So that person, we told him that the Prophet said that, this or that, and he still not, he said, oh, I will think about it. SubhanAllah, think about it. I will see. La ilaha illallah. That man, he has no manners. He has no manners. He didn't know how to behave himself with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or if you say, the Prophet said such and such, he will say, oh, but this is a problem. What about if such and such? He start making examples for you. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, كما في سنن الإمام ابن ماجه, that he said, as reported in Sunan ibn Majah, that the person, he should make wudu from the anything bent, touch the fire, anything cooked, they should make wudu from it. Then one of the Sahaba said, what about the boiling water? If you heat water, then use this water for wudu. You need to make wudu from the wudu. You know what Abu Hurairah said? He said, يا ابن أخي إذا حدثتك عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلا تضرب له الأمثال. Brother, if I'm telling you a hadith and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say such and such, don't give me an example. Don't create things to make it look wrong. You have to say, I believe, I obey. Wallahi, the Sahaba, very strange in this. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he came late. The Prophet ﷺ called for the salah. You know, brothers, he prayed behind the woman's lines because he came late. As it's narrated in Sahih al-Imam Muslim. Then the Prophet ﷺ stepped on his minbar and he said, sit down. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I was in that moment going to enter to the masjid. My left foot was outside and my right foot was inside. I swear by Allah, I didn't let the one outside to enter, or I didn't take the one out inside outside. I just settled down in my place. I didn't move my foot inside or take it outside. I just settled down. When I hear him saying, sit down. This is the way that Sahaba Radwanullahi alayhim used to do. The Sahaba Radwanullahi alayhim, when he heard any order from the Prophet sallam, the first thing, they will just go ahead and do it, doing it. And they have full respect for the Prophet sallam. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, when the Prophet sallam was sick, the Prophet sallam entered to the masjid while the Abu Bakr praying. Then Abu Bakr, when he saw him, he goes back, radiallahu anhu. He couldn't lead the pray. He couldn't stand up front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's impossible for him to have this respect. Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu ardah, he saw Mizab lil-Abbas, ra'a Mizab lil-Abbas. Mizab, it's like a pipe They put it in the mud house long time ago, in the mud houses, and the roof. When the rain came in the roof, all the rain go to one corner, and it goes outside from this pipe. This mizab, okay? It's like a hole in the roof, and all the water comes out. This it was there, and it might bother people while walking in the street. Then Umar radiallahu anhu, he take it off. Then Al-Abbas said, the Prophet ﷺ, he is the one who put it there. You know what he did? He did a ruku'ah, Umar. Ruku'ah. He put his face down. And he ordered Al-Abbas to stand up above his on his back to return it back. And Al-Abbas stood up on the Umar ibn al-Khattab's back to return it back. This is the way. And Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah yarwi fi musnadih wal-Hakim fi mustadrakih that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his house and he and his wife, they were upstairs and the Prophet downstairs, there is a container of water fall down and the water start going. He said, I run to get a garment, بِقَطِيفَةِ لِي, him and his wife, going to try to take all, to suck all the water by this garment before it will drop in the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Then he said, Wallahi ya Rasulullah, I swear by Allah ya Rasulullah, I will never ever let you to be downstairs and I'm above you. It couldn't be happening. You should be upstairs and I'm under you. This is the way they used to be. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Abu Ubaidah in Uhud, in the day of Uhud, when the Prophet ﷺ was injured, and there is like a piece of metal in his cheek, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, bleeding, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hurts him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Ubaidah came to take it out. He said, "Wallahi, I couldn't take it by my hand, afraid that I might harm him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I take it by my tooth." Then the first tooth was broken. Then he did it to the other piece of metal and it was broken too. Just afraid to harm the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the day of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came a little bit, has some fat on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he could claim a rock. Then Talha, he came and he fell down and he let the Prophet ﷺ step on him, then he will, and he climbed the rock sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also the Siddiq of al-Ansar, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu arda'ah, when happened with Bani Quraidah, the Prophet ﷺ asked Sa'ad to be a judge between him and the Jewish. He said, I couldn't be, you are the Rasulullah, how comes I will be a judge and you are the Prophet? He said, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Allah chose Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh to be the judge between the Rasulullah ﷺ and the Jewish. Then he said, the judge, he should deal with the both sides. Then he look at the Jewish. He says, if I give you my judgment, you will take it? They said, yes. Then he should say the same thing to the Muslim side. That's right. But how come he will say it to the Prophet ﷺ in the other hand, in the other side? Then he radiallahu anhu, he faced to the tent, not facing the Prophet, facing other Muslims, saying, and you too, respecting ijlala li rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He couldn't face him, just respecting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Umar ibn Husayn, he gave bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his right hand. He said, after I give bay'ah to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I never touch by my hand, by my right hand, my private parts or in or my yani part. Just that, remember, I touched the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hands. I couldn't. Respecting him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was in the army, and the leader of the army is Usama. Is that right? Usama. Umar used to call him, you are my Amir, until he became Amir al-Mu'mini. Until he, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. He said, because the Prophet called you Amir, so I have to call you Amir too. Just respecting for what the Prophet ﷺ. Al-Abbas was asked once, Who's older? It's in Arabic, Man Akbar. Like, who's greater? Maybe if you translate like this. He said, he's Akbar min, he's greater than me, and I'm older than him. And I was born two years before him, or a couple of years before him. He didn't want to say, I'm older than him. He said, no, I was born before him. He wanted to make it in a nice statement, nice way, respecting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, one of his sons, once when he heard his father saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't stop women from going to the masjid. Then his son said, we're going to stop him. This is Sahih Muslim. We're going to stop him. Umar فلكزه لكزة شديدة في صدره وسبه سبا ما سبه قط. He insulted him. He talked very bad to him. And he punished him in his fist or in his chest. So angry. How come that he said the Prophet said, don't stop, and he's saying we are going to stop them. And he said, wallahi la ukallimuka ba'daha abada. And he said, I will never talk to you ever again. And he didn't talk to him until his son was passed away. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar qal wa la'allahu mata ba'da dhalika biqaleel. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar said, he might pass away after that, after a while, not a long time. Why? For respecting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa order. And today when you tell the brother, this is sunnah, it means, jazakallah khair. That means I'm not going to do it. Yes, wallahi, do you have ever heard any hadith the Prophet ﷺ ordered the Sahaba something and all of the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, is this obligation or sunnah? You have ever heard something like this? Like today, people come to ask you a question and say, yes, but yani, it's sunnah or wajib? What do you mean by that? It means if it's wajib, that means they have to, I'm stuck with it. That's the meaning. He don't do it feeling that something, he make it closer to him. That's right or not? People think, sunnah, oh, alhamdulillah, that means I can't yani, leave it. No, ya akhi. Makruh, that's good. That's good. No, it's makruh. It's not good. Do you have ever heard the Sahaba say, I have never seen something like that in my life. When he orders something, they just follow it. When he said don't, it means don't. But when today the people change, when the people change their manners, their behavior change. Now, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, respecting his sunnah, I will finish with this example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a fly fall down in your cup, you have to push the fly down, all the way down in the water, then take it out. If you want to drink it, drink it. If you don't, don't. One of those people says, wow, disgusting. How come I will drink from this water after the fly fell? And put it down too? More? To make it more dirty? He said that. Then after a while, a German scholar, doctor, came with the research that the fly under the right wings, There is a disease. And the antibiotic for this disease, it's in the left wings, or the opposite wing. And the Prophet, when he said, he pushed it down, this bubble that has the disease, or the cure, the antibiotic, when you push it, this bubble, it will, under the pressure, it will relieve the cure, or the medicine. Huh?
Antidote.
The antidote. Antidote. You know what he said, the Sheikh? Oh, mashallah, that's good. He believed the doctors. He didn't believe the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, he believed the doctors. He don't believe Muhammad sallallahu. Therefore, the scholar said the meaning of Ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah. أن يصدق فيما أخبر وأن يطاع فيما أمر وأن يجتنب ما نهى عنه وزجر صلى الله عليه وسلم. That you obey what he ordered, that you stop yourself from what he forbidden for you, and to believe in everything he said صلى الله عليه وسلم. Not like the deviant sect says, like Amr ibn Ubayd, he said about the hadith he hear from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, if Abdullah ibn Mas'ud himself, he told me this hadith, I would say, I don't believe in it. If Rasulullah told me this hadith by himself, I will not accept it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk it to me directly, I will say, this is not right. This is the deviant sects. And this narration about Amr ibn Ubayd, al-Bukhari said, he narrated in his book, in خلق أفعال العباد أن عبد الله بن أحمد in the book كتاب السنة. Yes brother, that there is people raised not to respect the sunnah to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, what he said, what he used to do. People, when you told him, when you told, when he's now listening to people talking about the sunnah, if you are a weak person, if your deen, your iman is not strong enough to follow, to practice all what the Prophet ﷺ said, don't make this to push you to talk bad about the Prophet ﷺ sunnah. Talk bad about the people who are following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make fun of them. Oh, making fun of person has a beard, or his thobe is short, or his dress is not going all the way down under his ankle. He's making fun of that. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ used to do. This is the way he used to dress sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, this is the dress for the mu'min. And people today making fun of a lot of sunan. They look at the sunnah as a minor thing. Oh, this man. We'll talk about the new issue, the big issues. Subhanallah. I was telling one sheikh, I was giving a piece of advice for one of my brother once. He's shaving beard. I told him, sunnah. He said, khalas, all of the problems finish. That's the only problem we have it now. It's my beard. Are you shaving beard or not? I said, I'll start with this problem to solve down, to finish. If we finish this problem, then we'll go to the bigger one. It's not the matter of shaving or not. No, I'm not wallahi talking about this. I'm talking about this feeling in his mind, this mentality. This is, means he don't know how to act, how to behave with the sunnah. If you have a good manners, like in Imam Malik rahimahullah, he never narrates hadith while he's not making wudu. Ayyub al-Sukhtiyani rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was rahimahullah ta'ala, when he was saying qala rasulullah sallam, many times he cried. He couldn't say it like this easily, like today we are doing. People, some of the tabi'een, when he said qala rasulullah sallam, his colors changed. It's a heavy thing. It's the Prophet sallam respecting him, ta'ziru sallam wa tawqiru, which it means respecting him. It's a clear order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. to respect him so much. And the scholar said, if he passed away, we still have to respect his sunnah. You're not allowed to make your voice louder than hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody saying, qala Rasulullah, you're not allowed to talk and make your voice louder than the one who narrating the hadith. Or when I said, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, okay, what's the Quran says? What the scholar says? What the sheikh says? If you hear something from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a clear, authentic hadith, you have to say, I have to obey. I believe in it. I stop here, inshallah, because we are going to have another lecture and we will continue talking about behaving with our parents, with the wife, with her husband with her wife, with his wife, and the morals of behaving with each other in our community. As the Muslims, also inshallah with the non-Muslims, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those people whose the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked. What the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked? I just told you, when you hear the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of the things you have to say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Second, you have to listen. When we saying qala Rasulullah, you have to listen. Not allowed to talk. So the Prophet ﷺ was asked about the things that will let the people enter the Jannah. He said, Husn al-Khuluq, the good manners. The most things that will let the people get enter to the Jannah. It's the heaviest things in your, it's the heaviest kind of good deeds. You will have it in the Day of Judgment. They are in a house in the middle, in the top of the Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.